I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Now the Backstreet Boys are all grown up with their own reality.
Cue the outrage.
We are the pop culture professors.
Welcome to We Stand Together, a pop culture academic symposium. We are the pop culture professors.
That is correct. We are smart people talking dumb topics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Caitlin Bitsaguy. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate you for a moment. and you know what else is cool? What? Lauren Brickman.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's truly iconic for you.
Yeah, thank you.
We are just two gals talking pop culture. Even though we have master's degrees, we've taught at universities, but here we are.
Here we are. And to anyone listening to this podcast this week that is in education themselves, to my fellow teachers, my students out there, y'all, we did it. We got to the end of this semester somehow.
Thank you, teachers. Thank you, students.
Yeah. And if you're one of my students who still hasn't turned in an assignment, just write me an essay about why you love this podcast and we'll call it a day.
There you go. I think that's a great deal.
Right? I think that's a good deal too. But you have to find this podcast, listen to it, and then write an essay. But then I'll forgive everything else.
Absolutely. And you know, it's called We Stand Together. Standing means to be an obsessive fan of, you name it. So what are you standing this week leading up to Christmas and the holiday season? What are you standing?
Well, Caitlin, last night, as you know, because you were there, we had our final We Stand Together virtual book club of 2020. Not forever, just the final one of this year since this year is ending. And we talked Dolly Parton. And I woke up this morning and I'm still standing her. Nothing gets me in the holiday spirit like Miss Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just love her.
Hard Candy Christmas, Dolly and Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas on the Square, her film.
Christmas on the Square. Honestly, I know you didn't finish it, Caitlin. I know you gave up after
Not yet. No. Yeah.
And that's fine. I understand. But I want to say it was capital E entertainment. You know, capital E entertainment. And I thank her.
It definitely gave us something to do. No, I tried to watch it alone and sober. And I think both those things are bad.
I watched it alone and sober at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, dear. I don't know that there's ever been a piece of art with more iconic and 10 out of 10 talented people that is not totally watchable.
I found it quite watchable. I also found it very confusing. And I found the choreography alarming. But I also smiled. I smiled because, gosh dang it.
My legend, Debbie Allen, who directed the film. Legend, Jennifer Lewis, also in the film. Icon, beyond words, Dolly Parton in the film, writing the music. But
we had Treat Williams. We had Christine Baranski.
The we number one build person from Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. And yet it is...
It's an adventure. It's an adventure, to say the least. But, you know, no matter the good, the bad, we love Dolly.
Yeah.
And what a year she's had. You know, she supported the COVID vaccine research. She saved that small child from, was it a truck?
Yeah, I don't know. She's she's really getting... I've been a Dolly stan for as long as I've been alive, but we are getting to Kim Jong-un levels of legends around Dolly that I'm getting concerned. Like, I feel like we're going to hear that she's like the best slam dunker in the NBA soon.
No,
like,
she
it's
is.
Just
She absolutely is. She absolutely is. We it's both just, know this.
Okay. Well, so you're standing Holiday Dolly. I tried to make it into like Holly Dolly. I don't know. It didn't work.
I'm having a Holly Dolly Christmas.
There
That's
you
what
go.
I'm having.
Okay, you nailed it.
Thank you. So, Caitlin, what are you standing right now? What's getting you in the holiday spirit?
I'm standing my personal Christmas playlist, which I made a few years ago. I guess it's open on Spotify. I'm not sure. It's called A Very Caitlin Christmas, if you're looking for it on Spotify. It has over 200 songs.
Wow.
But, you know, I'm really enjoying specifically the Motown Christmas album.
Which it's so good.
Amazing. Especially Go Tell It on the Mountain, because it goes into Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which is like genius. And then I'm also standing the Kacey Musgraves Christmas album from 2016, which is very kind of sad. So if you're in a depressed mood, but you still want to be holiday, put on the Kacey. She knows. She's hurting too. She's hurting too.
Oh, God. We don't want her to hurt, but she is hurting too.
You know, so yeah, Christmas music always.
I love that. I love that. I am excited about how much content there just is to consume around the holidays. Like this, it's not just Christmas anymore. It's content-mas, and that is thrilling.
That is a great point. And this episode is no exception to that.
Oh, no exception, because folks, we're doing something a little wild. We're doing something a little wacky. We're doing something a little seasonal. And this is the first ever We Stand Together variety show.
Yes, it is a Christmas variety show. And we're calling it These Are a Few of Our Favorite Stands.
That's right. We've reached out to some of our fabulous friends and asked them to contribute different seasonal bits. And this first bit, I'm very excited about.
Oh, yes.
This has been one of my favorite holiday bits for several years now. But the hilarious and wonderful Jenny Ravitz and Alex Brightman have been for several years doing some kookiness on the Instagram, and I'm gonna let them speak for themselves and set this whole story up. But this is truly I know it's the holiday season when Jenny starts posting this bit, and I'm so glad that they brought the bit to the show. So this let's check it out.
We wished you a Merry Christmas. A couple of years ago, I found out that my husband knows no lyrics to any Christmas song, be it super popular, secular, anything. So here we go. This is me testing him on the lyrics of a Christmas song. He does not know which song I'm about to choose.
That's correct.
Ready?
I am ready.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell sings and jingle bell swings. Dancer and prancer and love in the air. Glowing and showing and... I know it gets like, that's the jingle bell has begun.
Okay.
Giddy up, jingle horse, get on your feet. Wriggle around the clock. Mix and a mingle and a biggle and beat. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. I knew the guitar part.
You did know the guitar part. There were a few words like bingle and beat.
I didn't want to stop.
And
bingle and beat.
Giddy up.
What am I missing in the beginning? Horse. What am I missing in the beginning?
I mean, really, everything.
So that's the fabulous Alex Brightman, Broadway's Alex Brightman, just crushing the holiday classics. This is one of my favorite holiday bits. I love it so much, and I hope that Alex never learns the lyrics to any songs and that Jenny can continue posting these for the rest of our lives.
You know, I'm wondering how well I would do at such a challenge. Because I think I know the songs, but I think I could be very wrong.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, finish the song. Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Is it like... have a happy holiday. Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
See, I don't know. I don't, but like, I'm scared that I might be the same as someone who is famously bad at this.
What about, well, yeah, and the difference is, though, you grew up with this in your household.
So that makes me weirder.
Yeah, that makes you definitely weirder. What about Silent Night? Can you... Silent night, holy night.
All is well. All is calm, all is bright.
Yeah. I think you could get there. I think you could figure it out. I think you'd get there someday.
Let's hope.
But anyway,
2021.
This is now a concert we're gonna have to give, where it's fill in the blank Christmas carols, where the music, like, you have like a choir and they drop out suddenly and you have to keep going.
Oh, this would be a lot of my fears.
This is going to be an awesome special on Fox hosted by Ken.
Dr. Ken.
Dr. Ken's going to host it. Shout out once again to Jenny and Alex. Thank you so much for bringing this delightful treat back into our lives.
Yeah.
For some of you, you're welcome that you got to experience it for the first time. And be sure to follow Jenny and Alex on Instagram for all the fun.
Absolutely. You know, music is a huge part of the holidays, but we don't talk enough really about the fashion, I feel. You know, we could be spotlighting that a lot more. And we have another guest that's going to help us with that. We have Brady O'Callaghan. A treat and a half. You know him. He's been a guest on our podcast. He's been on several of our live shows. And he has a new social account people are going wild for it. It's called Found a Good Outfit.
It's such a good account. I'm loving watching this account blow up.
It's at Found Good Outfit on Twitter. And he breaks down what iconic cartoon characters wear and how you can basically steal their look.
Yeah,
he does the shopping for you.
It's a guide to cosplay,
basically. And so he's gonna help us today break down an iconic Christmas outfit. Brady, take it away.
I thought it might be fun to take a look at one of my favorite Christmas specials, A Muppet Family Christmas from 1987, and specifically Kermit the Frog, of course. In the final scene of this, the whole crew is having a sort of sing-along, and they're all sort of dressed for a nice Christmas party. Sort of dressed up, nothing too fancy. And Kermit is wearing, first and foremost, a red tartan suit vest. It's very festive. It's got reds, greens, golds. It's beautiful. It's the centerpiece of his outfit. He then, because that is the focal point, grounds it with a bunch of more muted sort of support players. He's got a winter weight trouser in a sort of gray colorway, a plain white dress shirt, a black silk bow tie. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds great. I'd love to wear something like that. Luckily enough for you, you can. For example, I found a tartan vest. This one's double-breasted, shawl collar. It centers green more than red, but it's still got greens, reds, golds. It's very festive. That's from Favorbrook. The rest of the outfit, because it's classic American staples, I pulled directly from Ralph Lauren. I've got a classic white dress shirt, a black silk bow tie. I opted for a flannel charcoal suit trouser. And then I decided to go with a black cap-toe dress shoe and a wine-colored cotton sock to help bring out a couple of the colors, the red mainly in the vest, and really add a little bit of a small festive touch. The beautiful thing about this outfit is that you can throw on a matching suit jacket with that charcoal trouser. You could throw on a navy blue blazer. You could throw on a wine blazer. It's going to look impeccable. Truly a very good outfit.
Brady, thank you so much for the fashion advice. I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but I just want to say, Brady, big fan of your work, big fan of you. And I'm going to leave it at that because Caitlin is telling me, she's signaling for me to shut up. She's telling me to stop. Yeah. She's saying, don't dig a hole deeper. Nope. So I'm going to stop. But I just want to say thank you once again, Brady.
Well, thanks, Brady. You're Brady, you're the Kermit of the comedy world. And
so true.
We love you.
Wow. Well, we've got more amazing holiday content for you all. Well, we've got more Christmas content coming at you. This next bit comes to us from the dynamic duo Jack and Melissa.
Wow. What a nice evening that was.
Yeah, what a beautiful house you have.
Will you look at the time?
Oh, no. I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been so very nice.
Oh, sorry. I get it. You're trying to leave.
My mother will start to worry.
Okay, then you should probably go.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to upset your father.
So really, I'd better scurry.
That's probably a good idea.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Do you mean a drink for the road?
The neighbors might think.
Wait, are you staying or leaving?
Say, what's in this drink?
I didn't give you a drink yet.
I wish I knew how.
What's going on right
to
now?
Break the spell.
Are you leaving or staying?
I ought to say no.
No, you're leaving or no, you're staying.
At least I'm gonna say that
if
I
you
tried.
Wanna leave, I'll get your coat.
I really can't stay.
Okay, then I'll get it. Cause baby, it's cold outside. What the fuck is wrong with this girl? What, does she take an edible at dinner? Jesus.
I simply must go.
Yeah, that's why I got your coat.
The answer is no.
Is this not your coat?
The welcome has been.
It doesn't look like my
so
coat.
Nice and warm.
I'm pretty sure this is your coat.
My sister will be suspicious.
Why don't you take your own
My
coat?
My brother will be there at the
I
door.
I feel like you're playing some sick
My
game.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
What is a maiden
well,
aunt?
Well, maybe just a cigarette more.
I don't smoke or own cigarettes.
I've got to go home.
Okay, then you should go home.
Say, lend me a coat.
Okay, now you're gaslighting me.
You've really been grand.
I feel like you'll never leave at this
don't
point.
You see?
Is this a home invasion?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Listen, I don't know what's going on here, but
He's
I'm going to go to bed, okay?
Implied.
I'm going to close the door. stay or leave, whatever you want, but please don't steal my TV.
Thank God. I'm homeless.
Wow.
Wow. So many couples are creating iconic Christmas content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know me and my better half are always just bouncing ideas off of each other.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What's a recent idea that you guys worked on together?
Well, I recently responded to a tweet of Shimu's, and I'm waiting for him to respond back to me. But oh. I responded. He posted something very, very cute, and I posted back, and hopefully he'll respond soon.
So you are saying the ball is in his court.
Yeah.
Well, he's at work in Canada right now, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my boyfriend who lives in Canada.
Oh my gosh. Has he ever liked any of your tweets? You know, sometimes a celeb will like a tweet if you mention them. I've been liked by Michelle Williams, the one from Destiny's Child.
The greatest one. Of my celebrity boyfriends, no. But Joshua Jackson's gorgeous wife, Jody, has liked and responded to tweets that I have tweeted about Josh. So mm-hmm. I'm basically in that marriage now.
If you like them, it's easier to find them, you know, for mm-hmm. let's say when you're showing them to the authorities or.
Yeah. Minnie Driver responds to me a lot.
I've also been liked by Kathy Lee Gifford. Several
I love
times.
That.
She's on it. If you mention her, she notices. And I'm always saying positive things. You better believe.
I just several years ago, I was watching like Circle of Friends on TV and was like, I think Minnie Driver and I would get along really well.
Yeah.
And every now and then I just tweet at her like we're friends. Like anytime I'm in LA, I'm like, hey girl, I'm here if you want to grab drinks. And she'll often respond. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I wonder what Minnie Driver's doing right now. And she responded with what she was doing in the moment.
Wow. A Christmas miracle all year round. Minnie Driver.
Well, we need to take a break because I need to show the receipts to Caitlin and prove to her that Minnie's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from being the third on this podcast.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
All right, so we're waiting to hear back from Minnie to see if she can hop on the Zoom call. But in the meantime, we've got more phenomenal content for you all. Now, this next bit is not holiday themed, but it comes out of my love for an event that we had this year that I hope is going to be a annual event. Mm-hmm. You know, back in November, we had the first ever fanfic fest where we got different comedians to write fan fictions. And it was so much fun. We had to include a little bit more fanfic in this episode. And this comes to us from the amazing, hilarious Kathy Tao. And what's so fun about this is an actual fanfiction she wrote as a child. She said it was the very first fanfic she ever wrote. I believe she was in fifth grade. Let's check it out.
Hey, Lauren, Caitlin. This is me, Kathy Tao. So recently I was trying to log back into my fanfiction.net account, and I discovered I had actually written and published a fanfic when I was 10 years old. It was for the series called Card Captors, which was a show on Kids WB back when WB was still called WB. And it was marketed as Pokemon for girls. I don't even remember writing this, so it should be interesting. The piece is entitled Life and Death, Part 1. Lee was on top of the building, dressed in his usual card captor attire. The cloud cards were swirling around him. His trusty sword was poised, ready for battle. Suddenly, two sharp stings pricked him in his arm. He dropped the sword, but was still in the mood to fight. Whoever did that would pay. Then he felt a sickening jolt to his heart. He staggered and fell into plunging darkness down below. He screamed, "No!" Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Lee sat up with a start. He and his pillow were drenched in sweat. He always had this dream. He always died. And he always saw the attacker's face. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Lee nearly never had a good night's sleep. Especially now. After middle school, his parents were worried he would not carry on with the family tradition, so they tutored him at home. They taught him not to care for anyone, that the most important thing was yourself, and to put pride before your heart. But they still didn't teach him the family tradition. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Lee was 17 and had gone through the most extreme training. His parents had agreed now was the time to tell him the tradition of the family. Lee entered the room carefully and with great suspicion. He had learned to treat everything this way. Both his mother and his father grinned at his ill ease. They had taught him well. His father began, "Son, when your mother and I had children, we hoped the first one would be a boy. We got a girl instead. She's your oldest sister. She had magical powers, and still does, so we hoped that she would be the one to discover the Book of Clara Reed. Unfortunately, you told us of a girl named Sakura, who did become a card captor by discovering this book. For some reason, Clara Reed chose her to be the one. We decided to let you pass on the family tradition. The Shaorin family must always have the Clara cards. It's tradition, after all. We need you to carry out a plan to destroy Sakura." His father paused and let his mother speak. "Your ancestors have always used the death card to help them with this task. You will use it as well." She took out a card with a grim reaper on the side that showed its name. The death card. She shoved it towards your son and continued, "We have helped you as much as possible. It is your job to find a plan to kill her." Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Lee sat thinking. He had been dismissed from his parents' room 2 hours ago, but his father's words ran through his ears. "We need to find a plan to kill her," echoed his father in his head. Lee felt like screaming. First of all, he couldn't figure out a plan. Second of all, he didn't want to kill Sakura. Sure, they've been rivals at first, but lately, he felt differently about her. He still wasn't sure why. Whenever he saw her, he felt himself blushing. Quickly, he pushed his feelings aside. Who cares about her? He asked himself. She's nothing. Pride and the family name are much more important. For now, he needed a plan. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. Do you think he would really do it? Lee's mother asked her husband. Not a chance. I could tell by the expression on his face as soon as we mentioned Sakura's name. Have you thought of a plan B? She asked timidly. She knew her husband had quite a temper when provoked. I'm working on it, she retorted. To be continued.
Wow.
Wow. Kathy's a prodigy. She's a writing prodigy.
She is. And she wrote, to date, one of the funniest sketches I've ever seen. When I was directing her mod team, she wrote a sketch about an English class that they, no matter what the assignment was, they all kept turning in Riverdale fan fiction. And it's hilarious. I'll link it on our social media so y'all can check it out. If you like Riverdale, if you like fan fiction, if you like comedy and a good time, you're going to have a great time with this sketch.
Kathy was my student.
Oh. Yeah.
She was already good, so I didn't really do a lot. I was like, keep at it.
Kathy, I've often said she's my favorite troll in real life. She is one of the funniest people in the entire world, and she will come to a writer's meeting and she just knows what she's going to do and she's going to do it. And I love that.
You know, we love she's a woman had vision. With a plan.
It's because she's been writing since childhood.
Yeah.
She's the best. Yeah. We love Kathy.
And speaking of people we love, this woman, you know her from Smith Sisters Live, as well as being a guest on our show and a guest on maybe all of our live shows.
She's a big part of our lives. All three Smith sisters have, I've said this to them and I'll say it again. I identify as a Smith sister now, whether that's legal or not, I don't know. But
you're working on the adoption process.
Yeah.
It's a lot of paperwork mm-hmm. to adopt a 34-year-old woman, but mm-hmm. it's getting done. And each Smith sister is a snowflake and we love them all. But Mariah has been with us the most, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she writes for television. She also runs the amazing, I don't know if I want to call it a franchise. Keeping Up with the Continuityers is her franchise, where she writes about the Kardashians. She's an expert on all things Kardashian. So we had to get an update on the world's most famous family at Christmas time. Mariah, take it away.
So this year, the Kardashians are doing something a little bit different. They're not having their iconic Christmas Eve party, where they usually would invite the best of Hollywood, their closest friends and family, to either Chris's home or Courtney's home or Kim's home for a blowout party. Instead, they are just having a family affair. Although it's quite different from previous years, they also aren't doing a Christmas card, which is a shocker because they sort of got back into that groove the past few years. But what's really fascinating is they've given up this Christmas tradition, even though they thought hard enough to have Kim Kardashian's 40th birthday party on a private island when COVID was also at its peak. So it's very peculiar that they decided to abstain from this Christmas party, but they have previously this year all but ignored the virus. So this year, the Kardashians aren't celebrating the holiday as they have before since the 70s. So we'll see what kind of little Kiki we'll get. Just keep an eye out. We'll see.
I mean, my God.
It's hard to remember Christmas before the Kardashians, you know?
I've never known a Christmas before them. Like, I've never known a Christmas without them, so.
I will never forget hearing Lance Bass be interviewed that he spends Christmas Eve morning with his family in Mississippi and then flies to LA always to go to the Kardashians party.
Nuts.
This is this man's priorities.
Nuts.
And
the parties, to be fair, the parties look really fun.
Oh yeah, I don't begrudge that decision at all.
I would love to go to one of those parties.
Really, he should make his sister just come to LA so they could spend the time together. Why?
I know, that's so weird. Why don't they do
Jeez,
that?
Jeez, Lance Bass's sister. Be flexible.
Yeah, come on. Come on, baby Bass. I assume she's younger. I don't know if that's true.
I assume too. But I assume she has like 3 kids.
Yeah. At least.
Lance and Bass's I'm not sister, gonna... if you're listening,
DM us. Let us know. DM us. I refuse to Google this. I'm just going to make wild accusations.
That's the motto of this podcast.
Listen, if you got a beef with Brick, slide into our DMs. If you don't like these wild accusations, somebody come and stop me. That's all I got to say.
Wow. And we actually did, though, do some research once. We interviewed an actually successful actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone who actually books.
Yeah, which it didn't really rub off on us.
We thought it would. We really thought that the way you book is by asking other people questions about how they booked and talking about their success. It turns out that doesn't do anything. That's weird. It's weird that, you know, having spoken to someone who was in a holiday movie one time in July, that we are not already just like starring in a franchise of holiday movies. Like,
that's strange.
It's weird. If someone understands what we did wrong, let us know. But a true, genuine bucket list goal of mine, and I think Caitlin would agree, like, if I am not in a made for TV holiday movie before I die, nothing else I've accomplished will matter. Like, that is, I have to be in a made for TV holiday movie before I die.
I mean, I think you will be.
Thank you.
I feel like it is weird. It hasn't happened yet. That seems strange. Like, maybe there's a curse or some witchcraft is involved, but maybe it's that you're going to be the lead. Like,
I would love.
Right now, like, you would probably book a supporting role. But maybe that's not what you're meant for. You're meant to star. So
I'm going to cry. Thank you for your belief in me. Thank
you. So you do need to book some other things first, and that's the hurdle. But then they're going to offer you.
Oh.
Like, it's going to be called, like, a Brickman Christmas.
Oh, my God. Caitlin, this is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. I'm emotional. Wow. Well, that's heartening.
But,
that's heartening.
We talked to Ali Gondor in July. We did an entire Christmas in July live stream. If you missed it, you can still see it.
It's the link, yeah, on YouTube. And we've got a link tree in our Instagram bio, so you can just click on it.
Wow, a link tree. We're getting
fancy?
Yeah. And he was in the film The Truth About Christmas on Hallmark. So he talked to us about the experience of living Lauren's dreams.
He was in The Truth About Christmas on Freeform.
Oh, apologies. Apologies. Wow. That's even closer to your dream.
Honestly? Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to friend of the show who's on last week's episode, Rachel Chapman, for making the connection between us and Ali. And let's go back in time to Christmas in July and hear what Ali had to say about making a made-for-TV Christmas movie.
The next guest, oh my gosh.
Oh my God, I'm freaking out about our next guest. I can't wait.
Okay, obviously we're all obsessed with the Christmas verse and we desperately want to be a part of it. But our next guest has actually been in a real deal made-for-TV movie, The Truth About Christmas on Freeform. Please welcome Ali Gondor.
Hey, Merry Christmas in July.
Yes, Merry Christmas in July. Thank you for being here, Ali.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh my God, I cannot. I'm like honestly shaking right now because you
were in a Christmas movie.
Ooh, you have my dream. And it's a good Christmas movie too. Yeah. Like, it's a good one. It's so fun.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, it definitely felt like being part of a genre that in itself is magical.
So, absolutely. And on Freeform. Freeform's taken over, okay? Live TV and Hallmark need to watch out.
Big fan of Freeform.
Here's the thing. We think about Hallmark when we think about made-for-TV Christmas movies, mm-hmm. but Freeform is coming for its ass. Like, their movies are so good.
Yeah, and I want to say they've probably, you know, moving forward, they've probably got the edge. Hallmark has shown itself a little bit to be a bit of a dinosaur in terms of changing and adopting your current cultures and stuff, you know? I feel like Freeform's coming for you, Hallmark.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%. And I am just so thrilled that you agreed to be here, because I feel like I'm talking to not... like, it's beyond a star. Like, you feel like I feel like I'm talking to a literal, like, angel right now, because you've lived in the Christmas universe.
It's a star on top of a Christmas tree. It's an angel on top of a Christmas tree.
Well, my goal is next year to make Fat Carrie Bradshaw's list. So,
oh, wow. Okay. Here we go. I love it.
What an honor that will feel like.
I mean, we have like a million and one questions, but my first question is, was it winter when you shot the movie?
It was absolutely not winter. No, it was July, and like peak July. This is in Ontario, Canada.
Oh my gosh. It's like just Cameron's doing right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a hotbed of Christmas movies there. I don't know if that's just like the arrangement they have or budget reasons or what, but they film a lot of Christmas stuff up in Canada.
Well, I was gonna ask you, once you make a Christmas movie, are you in like a club where like you get all the intel? Like, are you like in a group chat with all the other actors who have booked Christmas movies? Like, is there a secret society of Christmas actors?
I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I will say yes.
okay.
We have a secret cabal every December 27th.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I've already said too much.
Okay. I don't want you to lose your membership or anything like that.
No, honestly, this was like, it was like brand new for me tapping into this world. Only after doing the movie did I sort of realize like what a culture there was around Christmas movies. Because like, I've done a smattering of random projects, but this was the first one where I did it, and it felt like after it was out there, got so much response back from people who were like, I watched all of those movies and I saw yours. And I've never had that experience before.
Wow. Did you know that there's a Christmas con? Like Comic Con, there's a con for Christmas.
Yeah, I've heard of Santa Con, but never really understood what it was. I don't know if that's different or
very different thing.
Okay, all right. Teach me, please.
I the weird thing about them is I would go to both.
And you are truly the one person on planet Earth. So SantaCon is a sort of like drunken bachelor party on the move, where everyone's dressed as Santa in New York City on like December 7th.
Okay, all right.
ChristmasCon is like more like Comic Con for sure. Christmas.
Yeah.
People peddling their Christmas wares and spreading their various Christmas items, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And I both are problematic, but I don't see the problem. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Because you're drunk at both.
Thank you.
So what was it like to film the movie? Like, I know it's, did it leave you like, you left the set and you're like, well, wait, it's just like August 1st. Why isn't anyone else talking about Christmas?
Yeah, it was odd. I think I think the weirdest part about trying to get into Christmas mode in July is just straight up the temperature difference. So like, we would be filming stuff where, you know, the set decoration, they did it beautifully outside, would look like it was, you know, fresh snow, full everything. And then you'd be in like a heavy coat, but it would be like 80 something outside. So you're just trying to act like you're not sweaty, you know, but you're actually very sweaty the whole time.
Oh, sweaty. That's what you studied
that's
for.
That's my biggest challenge in acting in general. So.
Ooh, I get it. Well, you brought a clip with you of the movie, and I would love to share it. And we're gonna play this clip, and we're gonna be on the side. So if there's any like director, like it, behind the scenes commentary that you can give us about this clip, we would be so thankful. So.
I guess this is just so Jillian has been, I'm gonna try to do this the shortest way possible. Jillian has been cursed by Santa and she is not allowed to lie.
Okay.
Her boyfriend, fiance, is running for mayor. She comes to visit his family while she is under this Christmas lie curse. I'm her brother, who is like mostly a sweetie, but right now is being real protective and kind of like skeptical.
Nice. Amazing. So we're going to roll this clip now. And while the clip is rolling, if you have a question for Ollie, put it in the chat, and Rodney is going to choose the best audience question he sees in the chat. So one person is going to get their question answered after this clip. So we're going to roll this clip now.
Yeah, come on. An 80-year-old civilian? I feel like someone like you could handle that in her sleep.
Someone like me?
Yeah, you know, someone who basically lies for a living.
Oh, excuse me. How dare you just take what I do and distill it down to the most simplistic definition. I've worked very hard to get where I am, okay? Politics is a very complex world. It's a game of strategy. What I do is very important.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is it that you do again?
I tell people exactly what they need to hear so your brother can get elected.
Bingo.
Oh! George warned me you were difficult.
Oh, by difficult, he means I disagree with him on most personal, social, and political issues, and it makes him crazy, then yeah, I guess I'm difficult.
Oh, George likes us to look really good in pictures, you know? The camera adds 10 pounds. We're in the limelight. George.
Georgie, why?
Dad! I like a thick woman.
Because I miss haircuts so bad.
Also, I like a thick woman, too. Give it up for thick women everywhere.
that was an improvised line. We did a whole day of like a breakfast scene, and it was fun. Just like, you know, it was I think like, you know, 8 or 9 different seats, and so it was just like a full day of this way, that way, that way, just coverage. And by the end, everyone was super loopy, and so that was like just an improvised thing that we threw in. And the director Jake Harris was cool enough where he was like, "I'm putting it in my cut. Let's see if Freeform approves it." And they fucking did, which is awesome.
Truly. Okay, here's the question. Kim McGraw's asking, during the audition, did they have a prop axe or did you have to improvise one?
Iconic.
Wonderful question. Yeah, I started doing a space work axe, like just because I felt like he should have one. So for the scene, I was doing kind of like a this thing. And then everybody was looking at me like, what the fuck? Have you ever seen anything on TV ever? And so props came and gave me a real axe, which I demanded be bigger. So that's the one that you see finally.
That's amazing. Now, I'm going to be selfish for a moment. And I have to know, for those of us whose ultimate life dream and career goal is to be in a made-for-TV holiday movie, what advice do you have? Like, how do we ascend to join the Secret Christmas Society?
You got to write to Santa every year. A lot of people stop when they're kids.
Wow.
I think that's the biggest thing.
That's the basics.
Yeah, that's one of the basics is at that point where you sort of lose faith and you drop off, that's kind of your chance to rocket past everyone else if you keep doing it.
So
And then beyond that, you know, just keep rolling those awful dice of show business that we all love so much. I think that's it.
Amazing. I'm going to write my letter as soon as this live stream ends. Thank you so much. It is such a joy to meet you. And you are definitely going to be on Fat Gary's list next year because this is one handsome guy.
Oh, hell yeah. Can't wait. Merry Christmas in July, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Wow. A real four in our midst.
I am shaking. I'm kind of in love.
I think that this could be the match for you.
I'm in love. I know you wanted to get off that Carrie's list, but he's for sure on my list.
This will incense Fat Carrie Bradshaw if you find a husband from this.
I have to say, I'm even more charmed by him now.
He's great. And we really didn't scare him off. Which, you know, I was a little worried about that segment when we did it, to be honest, because it was like, you know, are we going to terrify this man? And I don't think we actually did.
So charming. I have chills thinking just, wow, I love. I absolutely love. That's amazing.
Maybe he can be in your film, A Brickman Christmas.
Would love. Would absolutely love. We can get him and Shimu and Josh and Niall and all of my celebrity boyfriends.
That's true.
I am
deeply unwell. This podcast really helps me reckon with just how deeply unwell I am. And I'm appreciative.
In fairness, if Brady listened this far, I feel like he feels safer because he's learning, you know, she does this a lot. It's okay. You know,
she'll get distracted and move on to someone else for a while. Yeah,
just like don't make too much noise.
It's just
like
don't move. Like, stay still.
Yeah, you're encountering a bear in the woods. You know, it's just like don't get in between it. And it's baby bears. And just like you're actually fine. It feels scary, but
it's sweet. Yeah. Wow. I am a bear. I am a bear in heat. Okay. I need a moment to unpack that. Mm-hmm, so we're going to take one more quick break and we'll see you in just a moment. All right. I have calmed down. I've cooled off. Mm-hmm. I had some milk and cookies and found my center.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now you got to buy more for Santa.
Yeah. It's a problem. I keep running through the stash. But, you know, we'll figure it out. Maybe he'll want some matzah. We have a lot of matzah.
That'd be interesting.
What if I leave Santa Claus just like a really good... I have to just take a second to say, this is the first time I made matzah crack myself. For those who don't know, matzah crack is when you take matzah, you make like a toffee, and there's different types of toffings that you can do. This year, I did a peppermint bark matzah cracker. Wow. That was to die for. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. And then I promptly left it in my apartment and forgot to bring it with me to Oklahoma. So I had made it thinking I'd give it out as gifts to some. That's okay. That's okay.
Your roommates are just munching on it back in New York.
I hope they're okay. I hope they're enjoying it. Mazel. Well, we've got some other stuff too. Speaking of sweet stuff, we've got an amazing original Christmas song making its debut right here on this show.
I'm so excited for people to hear this. It is beyond genius. The wonderful Jay Mowski, a performer I can't wait to get back to seeing live when we are able to leave the house.
I love Jay. I love this song, Sugar Baby, that they wrote with the incredibly talented Jody Shelton and has Rebecca Vigil on background vocals. Let's get into the holiday spirit. Everyone, you're going to want to turn your volume up for this banger.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar, 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 baby. Santa, Santa, BMW Series 4. And some pumpkin spice flavored poppers. Santa, Santa, I want that Ferrari for war. At the Kennedy Center Honors, I've just one more Christmas wish. This year, put me up. Sugar baby. Sugar baby, Santa, Santa, I want a yacht that some might describe as wow, okay, that is a lot. Santa, Santa, a record that goes platinum twice or becomes a trend on TikTok. Get me a new harness this year. Tie me up. Sugar baby, think of all
sugar baby. Sugar baby.
This song is gonna chart. I think this is gonna chart.
I know. I feel like we're Ryan Seacrest right now. Like we just debuted a song.
Ugh. Oh my god.
Watch out, Seacrest.
And be sure to follow Jay Mowski online because they are gonna be dropping a music video for this song. I know.
Ugh, iconic, iconic, iconic. Wow. We only have one performer left.
Yeah. I was afraid we'd come to this moment.
But, you know, we don't like to get too political on this show. It's just not the focus. No. I mean, you know how we feel, but it's just not the focus. And I actually don't want you to take the next segment. It's not an endorsement from us. It's that We Stand does not officially endorse
this candidate.
Any candidates, you know, but we are giving them a platform. And I guess, honestly, if anyone else needs a platform that's running against this person, I guess we have to provide it. So let us know.
Some of you may have noticed on the interwebs that a dear friend of the show, past guest on the pod, tried to log into the live streams, has never had strong enough Wi-Fi to really make it work. But, you know, absolute earth angel, salt of the earth, Timothy Dunn has announced on various social media platforms that Tim is running for, now correct me if I'm wrong, Caitlin, he's running for Prince of Winter Senior Division.
Correct.
Okay. And this is his, how would you describe the audio clip that our listeners are about to experience?
You know, it's a campaign ad, and a journey into the brain of a madman.
Well, sit back and relax as best you can as we take a journey inside the mind of Tim Dunn, candidate for Prince of Winter, Senior Division.
Melikaliki Maka. Good winter and good evening, Mrs. Bitsagai, Professor Brickman, and the entire esteemed We Stand listening audience and hashtag Team Endless Winter Committee. Oh, look, here comes Susie Snowflake. And why, over there, there's a star in the north. 'Tis the Christmas star, I think. There's a chill in the air and winter is on the wing. So I sure hope you've all donned you now your gay apparel, because 'tis I, Timothy Dunn, contestant number 24601 from New York City, and your most frightful and your most delightful contestant for the title of Crowned Prince of Winter in the Seniors Division for the year 2020. At the ripe young age of 39, let's just say that I've packed more than my fair share of snowballs. I've guzzled gallons of my signature wintry beverage, Café con Eggnog. And I've stood blissfully in the snow, looking back at my childhood home as it burned to the ground in the middle of the night when I accidentally left an empty crock pot of mulled wine plugged in on the counter while I laid down for a long winter's nap on the kitchen floor after drinking an entire crock pot of mulled wine all by myself. So I've lived the joys of the season. I felt that rush of childhood joy, and I cried, taking in the majesty of the Radio City Rockettes in their iconic toy soldier costumes. I've stood on the streets of New York City and welcomed Mr. Jack Frost himself, begged him to finally nip at my nose even. and I've even spent Christmas morning in a medium security Manhattan prison after sneaking into the backstage area of the Radio City Christmas Spectacular and accidentally stabbing a stagehand who startled me after the show, all so that I could take in where Ox and Ass were sleeping and maybe pet one of the wise men's majestic camels after the snow. Show, that is. So I think I might know a thing or two about winter. A vote for me, Timothy Dunn, for Crown Prince of Winter 2020 in the Seniors Division, promises that you will have a Crown Prince of Winter for 2020 who knows all the lyrics to all 10 of the stupidest verses of Good King Wenceslas, a not great holiday song. I bring with myself the knowledge that winter isn't just for sled-riding kids hoping for a snow day. It's for all people, even Jacob and Laura Bowers, the couple on the Upper West Side of Manhattan who recently broke an IKEA floor barstool over my head when they mistakenly thought that I had broken into their apartment in the middle of the night dressed as old Kris Kringle himself to rob them, when really I was just there to spread some Yuletide cheer. Because I understand that winter is about giving. Giving thanks for the snow and for the cold, which stamp out the seasonal allergies that have brutalized my sinuses and nasal passages every single fall since I was a young boy. Giving gifts to others, especially crap that other people have given to me that I don't want or like. And mainly, giving of yourself in sexual acts with people who find you on the internet and pay you to have sex with them. And before you ask, yes, LOL, it is standard for me to show up with a sprig of mistletoe already jammed up my ass. So if you're finally ready for a real Yule log of a prince this year, I'd appreciate your vote, which would crown me, Timothy Dunn, the Crown Prince of Winter in the Seniors Division for the 9th year in a row, because in gay years, once you're 30, you're ancient. So ho, 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 and let it snow. And tonight, right before the visions of sugar plums start dancing in your heads, just know that I'll fucking skin every single one of you alive with the electric carving knife from Walmart that my Aunt Martha gave to me for Christmas last year, if you even think of voting for Todd Tinglehopper, my opponent. Joy to the world, and thank you.
Caitlin.
Wow.
Caitlin. Caitlin. Shh. Do we go do a wellness check on him? Is he okay?
You know,
I love him. I love him.
I mean, I do think we have to vote for him because he needs this. So please, I mean, again, we're not officially endorsing, you know, there's a lot of great candidates. But
yeah, in a very, very serious, heated election. I do have to say, one of the things I love most about Tim Dunn is his dedication and love of winter. Being hashtag Team Endless Winter is something that we share. Famously, this is a big divide between Caitlin and I. She's Team Have a Summer. I'm Team Endless Winter. So it's nice that I have an ally in Tim in loving all things
snow. I am part of Have a Summer movement. But you've got Tim on your side, so you either win or lose.
Wow, you either win or lose. That's the best. Now, Caitlin, we've come to the end of our wacky and wild Christmas variety show.
This was so fun.
This was so fun. Thanks to all of our amazing contributors. Thank you, Jenny Ravitz and Alex Brightman. Thank you, Brady O'Callaghan. Thank you, Jack and Melissa. Thank you, Kathy Tao. Thank you, Mariah Smith. Thank you, Allie Grandor. Thank you, Jay Malski. And of course, thank you, Tim Dunn.
And God bless us, everyone.
And if you want to spread a little Christmas cheer, you can help us out by heading on over to iTunes, leaving us a 5-star review, making sure you're following us on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, which, by the way, if you haven't checked our TikTok out, Caitlin is crushing it. It's actually infuriating how good she is at TikTok and the fact that she's been hiding these abilities.
Each one takes me hours. I'm 25 years older than the average TikTok user. I am, by the way, trying to get captions, but I'm working on it.
Right, every day we're learning. Every day we're learning. But Caitlin truly knocking it out of the park. She's 2 for 2 over here.
I've done two, guys. I've done two TikToks. Maybe I'll do one today.
But if you have an idea for a topic you want us to dive into, something you want to hear from us, if you've got a hot take, reach out. Let us know. We want to hear from you all. And Stans, most importantly, we want you to have a healthy and happy holiday season.
Absolutely. We love you. Thank you for listening.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.